You're listening to Roundtable Talks on RNIB Connect Radio, where blind and partially sighted people from different walks of life come together to discuss a big topic. And today we'll be talking about something we do every single day, which is sleep and dreaming. Sight loss can have a big impact on these things, both physically and mentally. And light perception helps to regulate the human body clock, so blind and partially sighted people can experience changes and challenges in their sleep schedule and tiredness levels. Stress is also a major factor impacting sleep, and the added stress of facing daily barriers can impact sleep quality. Sight loss can also change the sensory nature of dreams, and those with no sight may still have visual dreams which include people or objects that they've encountered after sight loss. And blind and partially sighted people are said to experience more dreams about movement and travel, and have more frequent nightmares than fully sighted people. We'll be hearing whether this is the case for our panellists as we delve into their dreams and how they get a good night's rest. I'm Amelia Hilton, today's moderator, and it's time to introduce our panellists. So our first panellist is Yasmin Tien. She's a fully blind actor, writer, poet and stand-up comedian of Chinese heritage. And she was born and raised in Brunei in Southeast Asia, and she came to the UK to read an undergraduate degree in education, English, drama and the arts at the University of Cambridge, and she's stayed here ever since. She now lives in London and works as a freelance artist and creative, centering her work around racial, gender, disability, and intersectional issues. Hi, Yasmin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Amelia. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited.
Our second panellist is Nina Chesworth. Nina is a blind woman with Charles-Bonnet syndrome, and she lost her sight fully 5 years ago through an additional accident after losing sight in her right eye 15 years ago. She is a mum of a 13-year-old and works in the sight loss sector for Visionary and is a trained holistic practitioner. Hi, Nina. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me.
Our final panellist is RNIB Connect Radio's resident arts lover and Tracks of My Life host, Toby Davey. Toby has worked in the world of photography and radio and was deputy director of Vocalise for over a decade before joining the station in 2020. He's also an accomplished sailor and is making a return appearance here at the Roundtable. Welcome back, Toby.
Hi, Amelia. Good to be back.
I'll come to you first, Yasmin. What was the last dream that you had, and can you tell us about it?
Oh, that's a question, isn't it? It's interesting that you were talking about the research around blind people and nightmares. I always thought that my nightmares were related to my mental health. I have complex PTSD. And now I'm thinking, oh, maybe my blindness does contribute to it because I have very frequent nightmares. I'm not sure that I can remember the most recent dream that I have, but the one that I definitely remember is one that I have quite a lot, where I get very lost in a building and I'm trying to get out, and every corridor I take just leads to a door, and when I go through the door, yet another corridor, and there just doesn't seem to be a way out. And that seems to be a very, very common nightmare for me. I'm wondering now, I mean, that is a fear of mine in daily life, really, is getting lost and not knowing how to get myself to where I need to be / where I recognize.
It's very, very interesting because I always have very vivid dreams. I don't know whether that's just my imagination or whether that's related to my sight loss. And, you know, sort of having Yasmin just talk about it and your introduction, Amelia, it's just made me think, well, maybe it's my sight loss that's given me very vivid dreams. But I do see people, and I do see, you know, sort of places that I've been and experiences that I've had, and that comes into my dreams. And I really want to know, in a way, whether my dreams and the way I see in my dreams is related to my sight loss or not. And that's something which I'd love to sort of find out a little bit more about.
Yeah, mine are like that as well, I think, Toby. I dream quite frequently of memories. I used to work in the hospitality industry as well when I was at university, and worked in bars and hotels and things. And I often dream that I'm behind the bar pulling pints and I can see the tap. So I can see everything. which is really nice. I quite enjoy it. Sometimes I wake up and think, oh, I'll go back to sleep. Because it's like I'm back in my world. It's memories, and I always have sight in my dreams as well, which, again, I don't know if that's connected to memory and what I used to do. I see people as well that have passed in my life, but I don't see their faces. And I think that's the same with all people in my dreams, really. I don't really see their faces, but I know it's them.
Yeah, I definitely have that experience as well. I had my sight up to about age 7 or 8. I'm 26 now. So I have been blind for quite a number of years, definitely all of my adult life. And I find that as I grow older, my dreams, even though they are very vivid, in terms of the visual elements of my dreams, they are definitely a lot hazier the older I get. So, for example, as you say, Nina, when I dream about people, which happens a lot, I don't see their faces. I don't see any distinct features about them, not even their clothes very much. I don't really see what clothes they're wearing or such, but I know it's them. And that's the case with almost everything that I dream about that have a visual element to them. Like when I talk about, you know, the corridors, I know that it's a corridor, and clearly I can see in my dreams because I'm able to navigate corridors without a cane. I'm often without a cane in my dreams, actually, which is a bit weird. But I actually don't see the features of the corridors. I don't see the light fixtures. I don't see the windows, etc., etc. So, yeah, I think, and I don't think that used to be the case. I think when I was younger, I used to be able to see a lot more in my dreams. But the older I get, the hazier and hazier those dreams are.
That's an interesting thing, because I don't know whether my dreams have changed. I grew up with sight loss, but my sight loss was a lot better when I was younger than it is now. I mean, it's pretty bad at the moment, and that's fine. I've got no problems with that. But I don't know whether my dreams have changed over that time, whether the reality that I see normally, whether that's replicated in my dreams or not, because my dreams, in a way, to me, feel the same. As I said, I see people, I see images, but I wonder where those images have come from. And I wonder, you know, as I think we've all said, we've all got perhaps pretty vivid imaginations. and whether that sort of affects my dreams in some way, I don't know. And I've always had sighted people sort of ask me, do you see better in your dreams than you do in your daytime? When you're talking about corridors, do we think of it as a corridor because we know it's a corridor, but it's not all there kind of thing? Oh gosh, where are we going?
That's a really good point, actually, because I have absolutely no sight at all. I don't even have my physical eyes. I have prosthetics. So I know that physically I cannot see at all. But as I look around my kitchen right now, I can see, in quotation marks, my fridge freezer, I can see my washing machine, etc., because my brain compensates and it creates this mental model of the world. And I do wonder whether that contributes to what I see in my dreams, see, again, in quotation marks, that, as you say, Toby, I know that this is a corridor. I know that I'm on an airplane. I know that I am facing an exam paper that I did not prep for, which is another nightmare that I have very, very frequently. And I can see the text on the exam paper. And I wonder whether it's just a case of mentally modelling it.
It's funny you say that, because I have Charles Bonnet syndrome as well, that I developed or was triggered with me when I lost my sight 5 years ago. But my dreaming from recollection has never been any different to when I had sight and when I've now not got sight. So with my Charles Bonnet syndrome, it's happened on several occasions where I've been dreaming and I've woke, and then part of my dream is still in the CBS hallucinations. So for instance, and as Amelia mentioned about travel being a regular theme of dreams amongst people with sight loss, I was dreaming, I was in Manchester and there was the trams, and I was trying to get across the tram quickly before they'd come, and I was stuck in between, and the trams were coming at me, and I could see the tram lines and the lights. And I woke up in a jolt. And as I woke up, the hallucinations were still showing those tram lines and the tram. Ah. You know, a time-lapse photo and the way it trails with the lights. It was like that in my hallucination. It was like the tram train was there, but the lights were trailing and the tracks were trailing. And it was like that crossover. So it was a very strange experience, actually, to wake up and still be kind of seeing part of the dream in the hallucinations.
When people talk about lucid dreaming and when people are training to do that, they have reality checks in place. Do you have anything with Charles Bonnet you kind of use as something to ground you? And do you ever try and apply that in your dreams?
Yeah, so breath work for me really helps. So in that situation, when I woke up, I was quite panicky. I was a bit disorientated. So I just brought myself back to my breath. And as I was doing that, that seemed to disperse the hallucinations as well. Also, I think a good pinch on the arm always does the trick.
Because I think it is that thing when I've had sort of, you know, very vivid bad dreams and I wake up and you still, you know, you think you're still there, don't you? You think you're still in that dream. You're still in that sort of nightmare scenario until about a few seconds or, you know, maybe a bit longer, and you suddenly realise, OK, I'm actually in bed. I'm OK, kind of stuff. But you're still, you feel quite scared, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious as to how often you guys have very vivid, very troubling nightmares, because I always thought it was just me. But now I'm listening to you guys and I'm thinking that maybe it is a larger proportion of the blind community than I thought.
It's an interesting one, because I do have them, but I don't think I have them like sort of every month or every week or whatever. Like, they're not as frequent as that, but they certainly can be pretty bad at times. My wife used to know when I've had a bad dream, because I used to sort of make a very strange sound because I was quite frightened in my dreams. And I do wonder whether, you know, sort of, is it because, you know, we're filling in things and our brain is filling in bits which we're missing in our sight, and whether that's triggering something, and whether we're just adding something onto an experience we've had. You know, I'd love to talk to a psychologist about it.
In the sleep research I was reading, it suggested some of the increased nightmares were to do with control, in that barriers blind and partially sighted people face take away a lot of control, or lots of things are unpredictable.
100%. I think that makes so much sense. I have very, very frequent nightmares. I would probably gauge it at about one every 2 to 3 to 4 days, I would say. And they're often nightmares in which I wake up screaming. I feel very sorry for my partner, but they're still with me. So clearly it's not that bad. Yeah. And I think that definitely what you were saying, Amelia, does resonate with me. That sense of, as blind people, we have to face so many stresses. Even something as simple as when I go to use the tube and somebody just puts their hands on me without my consent and yanks me into a chair or into a seat or something like that. That stays with me. That stays with me the whole day. That feeling of being violated, I suppose. And that feeling of not having agency. So I can imagine that creeping into our dreaming world and affecting that, for sure.
My dreams were a lot worse at the beginning, shortly after the accident when I lost the sight completely. And I was probably having nightmares a few times a week. But 5 years on, I probably have a nightmare now every couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And I've found that a lot of holistic therapies and practice around sleep has really supported me in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got into a real nighttime routine over the last 5 years. And that, I think, has impacted the reduction in them nightmares. So I do things like, I'll have a warm cup of herbal tea, usually one with valerian root in, mm-hmm. Before bed. I won't go on any technology. And so, you know, not every day, because, you know, we're all in that tech place. But, you know, I try not to go on the tech at least 30 minutes to an hour before bed. I have a sleep mask. I do my night cream and my eye drops every night. So I have a routine. So it's kind of like my psyche knows, right, it's getting to bedtime now, which really supports me with the Charles Bonnet syndrome as well, because with my CBS, when I close my eyes, the hallucinations are still there. So getting to sleep is quite difficult for me. And there's no darkness, it's still a lot going on. So it's hard to shut off. So I've really found that that nighttime routine really supports the getting to sleep, and I think has impacted on my dream world.
That's really interesting. I would love to have a better nighttime routine. I end up probably not sleeping enough and not getting to sleep too quickly and everything else. And certainly in the last year and a bit, you know, sort of my sleep pattern has not been particularly great because there's other things happening in my life. But I'd love to do that. I do try and listen to music on the radio before I go to sleep. So there's, you know, sort of nice classical music and that kind of thing to put me in the right frame of mind. But then I sort of, I end up listening to podcasts and stuff and things like that. I can't stop myself. And then, yeah. And then when I don't realise it, it's past midnight and I've got to be up at 6 o'clock the next day kind of stuff. But I wondered, do any of you have any problems with the amount of sleep you get? Because I know, you know, some blind and partially sighted people, because you're not seeing light and stuff, have problems sort of, you know, sort of waking up at the right time and that kind of thing.
I used to have light perception between ages 7 to 8 till about 21. During that period, I found it, I wouldn't say easier, because my sleep was probably still statistically a lot worse than sighted people was. But when I compare that period of my life to the past 5 years when I've had no sight at all, no light perception at all, there's definitely a marked difference. I think what I find really difficult is A, falling asleep. But once I've fallen asleep, staying asleep is really hard. And I keep waking up. And I think it is because without light perception, my circadian rhythm is completely thrown off. So what I rely on is melatonin to help signal to my brain, right, it is time to release this chemical to keep you asleep. It's not 100% all the time, but I think it does help quite a lot. What I tend to experience is that, let's say that I actually manage to sleep for 8 hours straight, hurrah, but I end up having very fitful dreams for most, if not all, of those 8 hours. So I wake up feeling absolutely drained. I genuinely don't remember the last time I woke up feeling refreshed, which sounds really horrible. But yeah, I don't know how I function, but I guess I'm used to little good sleep.
Yeah, I'd like to have 8 hours. That'd be fantastic. And constant sleep as well, because I do find that I'll wake up in the middle of the night for some reason. You know, it's like 3:30 or 4:00 in the morning. And I know, you know, I've only got a couple of hours before the alarm will go off and I need to be up. That all sort of goes round in your head and everything else. So, you know, are we just processing information too much, or are we, you know, not being able to get rid of information or get rid of things in your mind? Because, you know, sometimes you go to sleep or you try to get to sleep and you've got so many other things going off in your head kind of stuff, and you're trying to block things out or calm yourself down. And Nina's techniques I must use.
Do you still count sheep, or do some of those visual techniques like seeing waves go up and down and try and conjure those images, or do you maybe think of smells or rely on other things?
I actually use smells as well. I have a lavender pillow spray. My pillow gets doused every night with that, so that scent is very relaxing. I don't count sheep, but I do count. I listen to waves, the sea, rainfall, nature sounds. They really help as well.
I have counted things in the past. I have counted sheep and things like that, but I haven't done that for some time. Somehow my brain clears at some point after sort of wrestling with all the thoughts, and then I end up going to sleep, but never enough.
I meditate as well. So I think because I meditate during the day, even if it's only 5 minutes, you know, while you're making a cup of tea and do a few breaths, I think that really helps the relaxing, because I do notice the difference. If I have a stressful day and I don't get that opportunity to do a bit of breath work or meditate, that it is difficult to get to sleep and to stay asleep. But I think it's just the trying different things and seeing what works for you, because what works for one person might not work for someone else. It might not work for someone with sight or without sight. I think it's just a case of giving them a go.
I definitely use smell in that, and this is very embarrassing, but I'm going to publicize this on radio now, so it's out in the world. But I have a childhood blankie I've had since I was a few months old, and I cannot sleep without it. So I hold it, I have it up to my face, I smell it, and that's what helps me to get to sleep. I'm like that child, the stuffed animal. I cannot sleep without my blanket. In terms of counting sheep or such, I don't think I've ever done that. Weirdly, even though I have no sight at all, I'm actually a very, very visual person. And so I do use a lot of visual techniques in terms of, I'm very into colour. And so I will close my eyes and I will sort of visualize swirling colors. And I also really like designing things, I suppose, in my mind. I'm not a visual artist, but I actually really enjoy designing sort of artwork, I guess, in my head. And that helps me get to sleep. I don't know whether it's a case of distracting my brain so that it doesn't worry about everything else that I'm worried about during the day, and that helps it to relax and to calm down. But yeah, that's what I tend to use.
As a creative person, do you think you're being more creative in your dreams?
I wish I was. I have heard quite a few of my writery friends say that when they dream, they will often wake up and they will have lines of text just bubbling out of their lips, and then they will write them down straight away. I'm afraid that has not happened to me yet. I'm still hoping that I will wake up from a dream and go, I will now write this poem. I'm hopeful.
Did you notice a lot of differences in some of the characters or the scenarios in your dreams as you were losing your sight?
I don't think that, but I was just thinking in my head whether my dreams had a cane or not. But I don't think I have my guide dog in my dreams, and I don't think I walk around with a white cane in my dreams. So that's an interesting thought about the person I'm portraying in my dreams. Is that different to the person I am in life? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's the same for me as well. I'm completely sighted in my dreams. It's not the same as reality. And my dreams have definitely got a lot more exciting, I think, since I've lost my sight.
I think for me it's really hard to pinpoint, because I lost my sight gradually. So I'm not sure that there was a particular period where I, quote unquote, lost my sight, as it was so gradual. And when I think about it, children's dreams are very outlandish anyway. So since I lost my sight as a child, I'm not sure that I can actually see a difference between my dreams pre-sight loss and after sight loss, because yeah, children's dreams are really wild. I will say though that as an adult, my dreams have become a lot more repetitive. Getting lost is a common one. Needing to go to an exam without being prepared for it is another common one. Getting stuck on an elevator, that's one that I get a lot, and it always scares me every single time. And I still get it today.
Sometimes when when things are coming up, you know, like if I'm sailing or something like that, I might have a dream that I'm on a boat somewhere or waiting to go out on a boat, kind of stuff. So that will come part of my dream, and I don't know whether that's just because I'm thinking about it and it's something I'm looking forward to or what have you, kind of stuff. And that's because I've already started thinking about it. It comes into my dreams.
I have a recurring one that I'm shopping.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Jewellery shopping as well is one of them that is a regular. I used to love shopping. So I was visually impaired as well before losing my sight. I used to take my magnifier out with me and I used to go shopping on my own. I used to love my little trips. Bit of me time. Since I've lost my sight completely, I've not been able to do that. So I don't know, maybe it's my mind allowing that to happen in my dreams. I actually put a post about it on Facebook where I was shopping for necklaces, and it was so vivid. I could see this necklace. It was a gold necklace with a kind of enameled blue and green eye. and it was like it was there, I could hold it. And somebody actually went out and found a necklace from that description and bought the necklace for me.
Wow.
It's kind of a bit of a mix of realities there.
Did the necklace sort of match up with the image you had in your dreams?
Yeah, I'd probably say a good match to what I dreamt by touching it and feeling the shape of the pendant.
Have any of you tried to lucid dream and control what's happening in your dreams?
I have tried, especially when it comes to dreaming about memories and people. I wake up from it and I'm like, oh, go back to sleep, and I try to have that same dream.
I think I have accidentally been able to lucid dream a few times in my life. Not a lot, I would say less than 5. And every time I would get really excited thinking, oh, I've mastered the knack now. And then I wouldn't be able to do it the next time. So yeah, it's only accidentally happened. I've sort of, and I don't even know whether this is the right way to try and lucid dream, but I've sort of cognitively thought, I am going to now control my dream so that instead of being here, I'm going to be somewhere else. Or instead of having this person with me, a different person is going to walk through that door. I remember a few times in my life that has happened. I was able to summon a pony into my dream once when I was a kid. That was a happy day. I still remember that dream really well, actually. I was able to summon a brown and white pony into my dream that I wanted to ride, and I just rode it for a while, and that was a great time. Never managed to summon that pony back into my dreams again.
I think I've unconsciously lucid dreamed, if that's even a thing. You know, if it's been a particular difficult day with my sight loss, or I'm feeling, you know, particularly down about it and struggling with it, I think they're the nights that I tend to have the shopping dreams and me being back in my bar. Or if I'm thinking a lot about my uncle who passed away, that's when it tends to be that he'll appear in a dream. But I think I unconsciously do it. I'm not sure I purposely do it.
I wonder whether your shopping dreams are trying to organise, you know, a life that may not be so organised.
Yes, possibly. Because that's the thing, since I've lost my sight, organisation really, I think, is so important to being a successful blind person. Because pre-sight loss, I was quite chaotic. I'm a creative as well. It's an important part, isn't it, to be organised?
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe my dreams are telling me something.
Telling you to either be more organised or telling you you're doing a fantastic job at organising everything.
Yeah.
What is the nicest dream you've ever had or have remembered having recently?
The nicest dreams I've had recently are bringing people that you've lost back and going back over times that you had with people. And I think that's the sort of nicest thing, is you're not forgetting that person. You're still having dreams about them, although you're obviously thinking about them in your day-to-day life, but it's nice to have them back in your dreams as well. And in a way, that's some form of comfort, knowing that that person is still there in my dreams. I think that's important to me.
Thank you, Toby. That's a beautiful answer. And how about you, Nina?
Very similar to Toby, being able to experience and spend time with those people that have passed in your mind, in your dreams, knowing that you haven't forgot about them. There is something quite comforting about just having those moments. And also for me, I think the shopping dreams, I do enjoy them ones.
Especially if they eventually materialise into a real object.
Yeah, into actual jewellery.
I like the idea of dreaming about something and then somebody buying it for you.
Who needs a Christmas list when you have dreams?
Yep.
And how about you, Yasmin? It sounded like a pretty magical dream with the pony.
I mean, that was when I was a child. I wish that my nicest dream recently was as beautiful and profound as Toby and Nina's. I should probably make something up, shouldn't I? But I think the nicest dream I've had recently that I can remember is, it's another animal related one. I just had multiple dogs. I love dogs. I've got a little poodle, Isla. She's my baby, she's my princess. My partner thinks that one dog is probably enough, and they're probably right. We don't live in a big place, we don't have a garden. Yeah, but I think I had a dream recently where I had, I think, 3 or 4 dogs, and it was amazing. And they were all different breeds and all different colours. I was a very happy bunny in that dream.
Well, thank you so much, Yasmin Tien, Nina Chesworth and Toby Davey, for joining us for Roundtable Talks on RNIB Connect Radio. And I wish you all sweet dreams.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.